Now, guys, today's episode was filmed prior to the recent racism events in America, but we will be giving our opinions openly and honestly within the next episode. For now, please enjoy this one and remember that we will always be happier and enjoy life more when we learn to accept each other. So please continue to speak out, stand up for what is right, and peace.
Is it like splurting?
No, yeah, stop it! Like, stop it right like now! Each pulse is like coming like, out.
You're like bleeding out. You're bleeding out.
Yeah, I'm bleeding out. I'm like...
Welcome back to Waffling, boys and girls. We are with Luke Martin, Malfoy, and Weller. Now, this is our first podcast since, obviously, the big KSI one that got 1.7 million
1.7
mil.
Wait, I literally checked like 2 days ago, it was on 1.4.
Yeah, mate. No, this is like popping. Absolutely blown up. And obviously, it was huge. Like, going into it, I was nervous. Like, I'm not going to lie. In the morning, I was like pacing around. I had to go for a walk. I had to call my friend Lawrence for a bit of a chat about, you know, everything. Because, yeah, it was a big moment.
It was a big moment. That's the thing. Like, you were right to be nervous. Were you nervous about how it was going to go? Were you thinking, like, what if it does, like, go sour?
I don't think I wasn't necessarily fearful of it going wrong. Like, if we did have a disagreement, I was, you know, I was going to stick to what I believed and, you know, go at it. I wasn't going to shy away from it. I think more than anything, mate, because the whole KSI fight thing, all of that has been such a huge thing in my life, like, and shaping... Yeah, like how my career has gone. I think naturally, like, it just got my heart, my anxiety, everything racing. Like, any almost, well, I'll say, yeah, traumatic experience would, if you were to, like, address it.
Was it sort of like this whole past 2 years have been, like, building up to this one big moment, and it was, like, a weight off your shoulder?
Yeah, it was almost like, I was so glad that we were finally doing this. You know, part of me is like, mate, I look into everything so deeply, and you know, at the end of the day, it's just me and JJ having a chat. But you are right in that after everything that's happened, like, this is almost the closure that I think I personally needed to, like, sort of, you know, everything else has been getting better. You know, I've been mastering my videos, I've released a song, you know, I'm feeling better in myself, my mental health is improving, and that whole, like, KSI thing was almost the only thing that was a bit left
like
unturned.
Over you, sort of,
a little bit. You know, we'd never really spoken since the fight off camera. And you know, like, when, you know,
he said that you had sort of like segregated yourself from the YouTube community.
Yeah.
Do you feel that now this is sort of brushed under the carpet or like dealt with that you can now sort of find your way back into that group?
Well, yeah.
I mean, you were good friends with loads of them before.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the YouTube, like, big YouTube names messaged me privately after that podcast went out. You know, they watched the whole thing and were saying how it had connected to them, how they almost felt what I was saying, but it was tricky because, obviously, around the fight time, they were Team KSI. So to sort of, you know, it made it awkward, and I get it. And since the fight, it never really got dealt with. And I think, yeah, like, judging by the reaction of some of those guys, like, big names that I used to hang around with, I am confident that we're all sort of on that wave of, mate, let's make this a community. Let's make this a community again.
Yeah.
I will say as well, from first-hand experience, like, every time I spoke to a YouTuber about, say, you, they were never bitter towards you. They're always like, oh, yeah, I wish I saw him more.
Yeah.
So it was just like, I think it was just two separate sides that had this different opinion on each other when they actually did want to come together as a community.
Yeah, no, 100%. Oh, that was the other thing in that last KSI podcast. Every time someone would say anything, I would just go, nah, 100%. And I saw it in the comments.
Joe, there was one more thing, apparently. Apparently, you kept saying, bruv.
Noticed that though, as soon as you started rolling though.
You just kept saying bruv, and normally you like you never say it, and as soon as JJ came on the podcast, 100% bruv.
Yeah, I'll be honest, it's do you remember my first ever haunted video where we went to that abandoned school? Within that video, I kept going, bruv, bruv, oi, bruv, bruv. I think when I get anxious, I have a thing where I say bruv a lot. I think that's just something that I may do. And like, I will hold my hands up going into that. I had a lot of excitement. Well, not, you know, my heart was going. So it doesn't surprise me that I was probably doing something like that.
Well, it's just like a nervous tendency, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we all have them, you know. I think people commented that JJ did a few things when he was like, yeah, it is what it is. Yeah, yeah, it is what it is. Like, oh. Do you know what I mean? I think it's natural. Like, we all do it.
I wonder how he was actually feeling going into that. Because, I mean, like, he still came across, like, pretty, like, calm, cool, collected and everything. But do you reckon he was sort of feeling that anxiety before?
I mean, like, when I watched it back, yeah, I mean, you could see, like, he was going to a place in his mind that was deeper. And you know, there were certain thoughts and feelings that he was having that you could tell was maybe causing a little bit of shit, like the way, I don't know, like the whole body language and stuff, you could look like deep into it. But no doubt, given this whole scenario has played a big part in his life, it probably did in some ways, yeah, maybe cause a little bit of anxiety. I don't know. He's very good at dealing with sort of situations like that. So, you know, we're all different. Maybe it didn't affect him at all. But all I do know is that it was such a productive and constructive conversation, and the response that we've had has been amazing. And honestly, any new viewers that, you know, that was the first time you watch him waffling, I really do hope the vibe of being authentic, being yourself, and just keeping it real came across. It seems to have, like, you know, it seemed to be that way.
And I think he showed that more than he has done in the past. I felt like he really did want this conversation to happen, and he was very open. Then maybe when he was being interviewed by like a TV presenter or something, he wouldn't be that as open. But I feel like he did really connect with you and actually was quite humbled by that conversation, especially when he was saying how like regretful and how he actually did realize he made a mistake with the whole attack and the mental health thing. I think that was quite like a big thing to own up to his responsibilities.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I think, go on, Luke.
Oh, I was going to say, obviously, I don't know him personally and have watched him for however many years, but I definitely saw a different side to him and just saw a nice guy, like normal guy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is not something that you maybe get from his content.
Yeah, without a doubt. I was going to say 100%, but stop myself.
Stop yourself.
But literally, I think that was it as well. I haven't seen, I mean, I know that is JJ how he is. Because when we used to hang out, that's, you know, what he was like. It's that, I think, where I've only seen his KSI persona, arrogant way, I guess that's kind of how I thought he just was now. Whereas, you know, talking to him and him being humble, honest, open, not arrogant, and, yeah, us just vibing in the way that we did, it was, it was sick. And I think a lot of people who have had differences with other people, you know, falling out, arguments, I hope, those people can take something from seeing how me and JJ, who both have big egos, who both, you know, back ourselves, you know, we've matured and we've been able to deal with it in a good way. So, yeah, man, I was proud of how it all went.
Is there anything you wish you could have done differently or added to the conversation? Or do you think it went as good as it could have gone?
I reckon adding a few classic waffling questions, maybe taking it down the route of would you shag your cousin? I don't know. Something like that.
I said earlier, like, I was pondering for about 10 minutes on whether to ask like the most infamous waffling question. I bottled it. I went for darts in the end.
What were you going to ask him?
Well, I was going to ask him the big question is, when you spaff, do you clean it up or do you just sleep with it on your body? And I would have been intrigued to know what his answer would have been.
Because I know. You know.
I think you know,
Theo. I would be intrigued to find out what that answer would have been, because I feel like you and him maybe could have connected on something else.
Basically, Theo knows that KSI also, if he was to, you know, please himself, he would spaff up. Oh, this is actually a bit dodgy. But basically, me and JJ do the same thing, and that we don't think, you know, we need tissues in order to clean it up. And I think that is absolutely natural and the done thing. But well, how do you even know this? How do you even know that he does that, by the way?
It was on the grapevine.
No, but like, what YouTuber? Is it Chip?
No, it's not. I won't disclose
Mini
my source.
Minna.
No.
Cow.
You can't keep rattling names. I'm not going to disclose the source. But I think it's very funny. And at the end of the day, cavemen probably did exactly the same thing.
It's the most natural thing in the world.
Obviously, they didn't have Kleenex.
Yeah.
They could have used leaves.
Literally. So I think, I mean, if you did chip in with that question whilst we were having like a deep mental health debate, I mean, I don't think it would have... fit.
At the end, maybe.
I mean, maybe at the end. But that's why I'm saying, like, realistically, we could do another one at some point, you know, with JJ, where we do a normal sort of waffling episode and get questions in. I think with a bunch of YouTubers, that would be a good idea.
Yeah, that would be funny. And then also, me and Theo would maybe say a bit more.
But I know we got a lot of comments about that, but I felt like we would only jump in if it was... Yeah, because it was a conversation between you two. I felt like interrupting it would have dislodged the conversation. But I think when we did come in, I think it was appropriate.
Yeah, I think we should have maybe introduced that you guys were here.
Yeah.
When you randomly just like chipped in, it was like, who the fuck is that guy? Like, it was like, who was like, where's he come
and
from?
I didn't even have my camera, so just all of a sudden my voice would come through.
Yeah.
Mate, the whole podcast, Luke was just like on his hands and knees, like trying to fix his camera.
You
can just see him in Discord, just like
the biggest one, our moment. And
yeah, that was your big moment, and the technical difficulties, messed it up. But anyways, let's crack on with some questions that have been sent in by you guys at home that you need our professional help with. And the first one is titled Snapchat Sex Backfires. So what I'm gauging from this is that he's attempted to follow my instructions.
Expert advice.
Yeah,
from the
guru. And he's had an issue. So he goes like this. So I followed Joe's advice to have banter with a girl before moving on to the Snapchat sex. And I won't lie, after 3 days, I kind of started to like her. I trusted her. She was amazing. She was funny. And beautiful. It was last night, day 4, when I moved it onto the Snapchat. Okay. So it was last night when I moved onto the Snapchat sex. It was, mate. Theo, have you written this out, or is his grammar just?
No, I haven't written
his grammar is terrible. Right, it was going well. She sent me a pic of her tits, and I didn't promise her. And I didn't promise her you would screenshot. What? Then she said, want to see my pussy? Then first you have to get it wet. So I sent her a dick pic and she screenshots the pic. I feel so embarrassed as she goes to the local school in my area. As do I, and I don't want people seeing it. What should I do? I need your help. So it's a classic case of, okay, we trust each other here. I'm going to go for it, pluck up the courage to send a nude, and boom, she screenshotted. Snake. Rat.
Yeah.
It's awful. We've all been there. Isn't that right, boys?
All the time.
Yeah.
I think I had it once when I was a bit younger.
Wait, did you actually?
What? How old?
Yeah, it was never held against me. I was like 17, probably.
Wait, what happened? Describe your scenario.
Just don't include your face. I mean, that's the solution.
Oh, yeah, no, I've never included my... I've never done it, actually. No. Basically, rule number one, geezer, you never include your face. Because if it's a cock... Now, I've never done cock pics. Like, I'm actually not.
I will
dead.
Say
wait,
this.
No, I have actually. Wait. What?
You definitely
have.
Yeah,
we have.
Know you have. Yeah, 100%.
We've got them from you.
Every week.
No, okay, you boys have got a couple. It doesn't matter.
Wait, but what I will say is, what? We're forgetting that on Snapchat, your name is in the top left-hand corner.
What does that mean?
As in, he may not include his face, but it says who the picture is from in the top left-hand corner.
Oh, yeah, well, it has the username, doesn't it?
Oh, Joe's like, oh, no, what?
Wait, what? Oh, no, I've ruined it. What?
We got a business venture here.
What do you mean?
Why not make an app exclusively for Snapchat sex, not on Snapchat, where you can, like, be kept anonymous as such, not, like, send in pictures to randomers, like, you exchange with people that you know.
So, yeah, basically Snapchat where it doesn't say your name in the top corner.
Yeah.
Nude exchange app.
Yeah, 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 and they should have it. So on, I believe, I've heard that on OnlyFans, it's impossible to screenshot. Is that right?
I think, and also not only that, it's illegal to screenshot.
No, no, no. Listen, I believe that if you, I have no clue.
You've tried to screenshot.
No, no, no. Simon, who he has?
Oh, don't you say his name.
I'm joking. I'm joking. It's not really Si. Not now. Wait. Not ever. What?
Oh, no. No, no.
His name's Si?
No, I was going to mention
not now, not ever. Okay. Anyways, right. So basically, Cohen and Sot. No, Jacob, I'll stop, boys. But basically, the boys, some of the boys, have tried to screenshot and send it to me. But it doesn't
only
work.
You.
Okay, only me. But it doesn't work because I think OnlyFans has a function where they bar screenshots, which I think is a fantastic option. So what we need to do is create an app where we can send nude pictures and videos and it not be screenshotted and it doesn't display any names in the corner. I think that would be fantastic.
And the owner of the app gets all photos sent to him.
And, that is a great idea. So that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to name it. I don't know. But yeah, I think something like that needs to happen. Other than that, look, nude sex. No, not nude sex. Snapchat sex will always be a risky game. That's why the trust needs to be apparent. Because realistically, like,
I suppose the risk is part of the fun.
I'll be deadly honest, mate. It is. The riskiness. No, I'm done.
You guys get off the fact that they could screenshot it?
No, no, no. I don't even do it anymore. Like, genuinely. Think, I don't masturbate. I haven't masturbated in ages since. Think, since I said I wasn't going to do it anymore, I haven't.
Yeah, but, well, that's not strictly true, because obviously you had that mum that you were exchanging messages with.
Yeah, but I didn't do it. No, so I didn't actually finish, so therefore it doesn't count.
Didn't finish, but you did start.
No, I didn't start either. I didn't start. Oh. I didn't do anything. No, I didn't. I'm telling you. So I've been clean, and I haven't been doing it. But anyways, if you are considering, like, the trust needs to be the main thing. The trust, like, before you start anything, trust. Preferably a girlfriend or boyfriend or partner. Anyways, our next question is cheating dad. Now, this is a big one. This is actually a huge one. Hi, Joe, Theo, and Luke. So I'm in a bit of a situation. Fuck me.
Oh, my God. Come on,
Theo,
guys.
Theo, I reckon next time, type it out in English, like, because a lot of these these questions...
That's what I do.
Yeah.
Well, you correct their spelling.
Well, it's just it's difficult to read out on camera, isn't it?
It's authentic.
So I'm in a bit of a situation where I don't know what to do. Basically, I found out a couple of weeks ago my dad cheated on my mum. I'm the only one that knows. Mum doesn't know yet. Do I tell her or stay quiet? Have you got any advice on this? Like, do I make my dad come clean? Really don't know what to do, but I heard Theo cheated on his girlfriend once. So, can he give me some advice?
What?
So go on, Theo.
Did you?
No!
That's what the email says, Theo.
Oh, yeah, okay. Throw me under the bus.
Now, basically, first and foremost...
Wait, this is actually quite deep.
No, this is very deep.
Yeah, this is.
Very, very deep. But straight up now, boys, you find out that your dad cheated on your mum. What are you doing?
I think I'm saying you have to tell her, or I'm going to. Because it's not like picking one side.
Huh? Whole family's going down, mate. If this news breaks out, the whole family, goodbye Christmas, goodbye everyone being happy.
Or your mum looks like a prick the whole time.
To be fair,
I would go down the route of telling my dad to tell my mum.
And what if he's fuck off, Theo, piss off, twat? Like, what if he literally just says that?
Oh, I'd give him the dilemma: you're telling mum or I'm telling mum.
And hopefully, what if he goes, "I'll fucking smash your face in, then, lad." What if he literally just starts threatening? What if old Phil Baker is just like, look, Malfoy, you little shit. Your head's going to end up on the concrete if you open that little trappy gob.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You little
sorry,
pussy.
Sorry. I'll stay quiet.
Yeah, so wait. So what are you doing if he starts threatening? Because that is realistic.
It probably is, you know, in certain families.
So what are you doing?
Getting my mum and we'll go to the police.
You'll go to the police. What, and you're going to say my dad cheated on my mum?
No, I say we got threatened and we're scared for our lives.
And then they'll go, mate, there's more important things in the world. We got corona. You're a dork. So I think bottom line is this is where you become. I mean, this is a guy sending this in. You become a man in this moment. You go, look, father. I don't give a fuck what you think I should do right now. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do this because I care about my mum. So mum, here's the facts. Because the truth hurts, but the truth is the only way to heal. Otherwise, the wound is kept open. It's all brushed under the carpet and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Straight up, that's what I believe. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's important to remember that here you're not picking sides. You're not saying like, oh, I'm going to tell my mum because I prefer her. Like, yeah, you'd do the same if the shoe was on either foot.
Yeah.
It's just doing the right thing.
It's not personal to anyone. It's just doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And I think in all situations, you lot, like, that is what you need to do. You need to almost remove yourself from the situation and go, if I didn't have any emotional investment into this, what advice would I give someone in this situation? And that's basically the advice you need to follow. Like, what is right? That is always the thing to do. So, well.
And it's going
to
hurt. Yeah. Sometimes the right thing does hurt, but you've got to do it. 100%.
And I'm trying to think of any situations where doing the right thing can actually not be the right thing to do. Is there any? Is there any?
I'm sure there is. I can't. No, there will be certain situations I just can't think of.
Yeah, I don't know. Let us know in the comments.
I definitely think that sometimes things are better left unsaid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think in a situation like this, that is not one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's not something that does just go away.
Yeah.
100%.
It's a marriage.
Fucking 100%. Wow. Did not just say 100%. But yeah, anyways, that is that one. Now, on to the next question. We've got falling out of love. Hi, Joe, Theo, and Luke. Just wanted to start by saying I'm loving the podcast. You're so fit. Weller, I can tell he's got a massive cock. Wait. Anyway, I'm sending you this because I need some help. About a year ago, I got with my current girlfriend at the start. At the start, I was fully into it and I did love her. But as the year has gone on, I started to slowly fall out of love. And it's got to the point where I actively try and avoid speaking to her. I know I need to end this as it's not healthy, but I don't want to hurt her as I know what it'll do to her.
Wait.
If you could give me some advice, that would be great. P.S. Malfoy, you're a tosser.
Who sent this one in?
I can't say their name, can I?
Oh, sorry. Sounds familiar.
What do you mean it sounds familiar?
Well, has anyone in this Zoom call been through a scenario like that?
We're on Discord, mate. So have any of you gone through something like this?
I mean, when the only time I wasn't feeling it was someone, I broke up with them.
Yeah, but moment where you started to feel like, oh no, this isn't the right thing. And I'm going to put it off for a bit because I want it to work. I desperately want this to work. But my gut instinct tells me I need to do the right thing here. Have any of you boys never had that?
Well, go on, Theo. I'll let you answer.
Well, this is a classic case of doing the right thing can sometimes hurt.
But you have to do the right thing.
You have to do it. Otherwise, you're only lying to yourself and you're only going to make the situation worse. If you continue prolonging this guy's relationship and he's really not into it, it's only going to make the ending 10 times worse than at the beginning.
But like you say,
both of you are going to get hurt.
Go on, Luke.
You definitely have to give it a good amount of time to make sure it is the right decision. Yeah. And there is a time limit that you can put on it where you can be like, right, I am going to give this a go because I want it to work.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's going to, but I think everyone's owed that.
You try and make it work, and if it doesn't...
Yeah. The thing is, there is also a certain thing that happens where you have your gut instinct. And I want to know, like, basically, whenever my gut instinct has kicked in and said, you know what, mate, this ain't a thing. You need to do the right thing and put it to an end. Whenever I've initially had that gut instinct, like, it's almost like it's happened so many times. Well, not so many times. In different scenarios, it's happened.
Yeah.
But it's now to a point where the second I get that one gut instinct feeling, I'm like, mate, I should just listen to this now and take the action now. Because, do you know what I mean? Whenever my gut instinct kicks in and I get that feeling of, oh, no, this isn't right, it's always right. My gut instinct is always right. So what, like, you want to give it a chance, but it's like, mate, I shouldn't get these feelings of, oh, no, I'm not fully into it. Oh, no, I don't feel like this is right. Surely you should never get that feeling if you are doing the right thing, if this is meant to be, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying, but it is a bit more complicated with a relationship because it is up and down.
It's up and down, but then again, if you feel like for a prolonged period of time, which this guy is, if you feel like this isn't working, my gut instinct is telling me to get out of it, that's different to having ups and downs in relationships, I think.
Yeah, fair. Because, I mean, if you were actively trying to avoid speaking to one of your mates, you would just not be mates with them.
Yeah.
Boys, so I don't think I'm ever going to have a relationship.
Pardon?
I don't think I'm ever going to have a relationship. Ever.
This is something that you've actually spoken to us about, on a serious level before.
Seriously, like a partner relationship. Boys, I don't think I'm made to have a relationship with anyone. Cat, dog, with Ernie, yeah, my dog. But I don't think, I just don't think I'm made for it. Like, go on.
Do you not think that's the case now, but maybe one day, could you, or not? We just don't know, maybe.
Mate, the thing is, I hear people that are like, say, for example, my sister's boyfriend, whose birthday is today, he's just turned 29, Ty Townsend, happy birthday, mate. But yeah, basically, he was saying, oh, mate, when I was your age, I was so not cut out for a relationship. I did not want one at all. And now he's happy with my sister. They've just had a baby. He's smashing it. He's a great dad. Now, I look at their baby and I'm like, he's amazing. Love him. But I do not want a baby. Like, I cannot think of anything worse.
Yeah, right.
That's
now.
How bad I strongly. Like, not that anything is wrong with babies, but I don't feel like I'm ever going to be cut out for that. I'm too much of a solo individual that needs to follow a career, and I'm here to create stuff and entertain. I'm not here for anyone else, and that sounds awful, but that's what it feels like. Like, I'm not here to give my, like, having a relationship consumes a lot of your energy.
Yeah.
And I need to invest all that energy into, like, one, fucking making myself be able to operate, and two, fulfill my purpose in life.
It's going to sound like a cliche in a movie, but I feel like you're always going to feel like that until you meet the one.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
When you're ready.
I'm thinking the same.
Do you know what I mean? Like, relationships usually come out of the blue. Like, yes, you got Tinder now, etc., etc. But
fuck
usually
Tinder.
You just randomly meet someone. You know what I mean? And, like, you're not actively looking for a relationship. It just happens. It just happens out of nowhere, and you get caught by surprise. And one day, it will happen to you, Joe. You're just not ready for it now.
There's a point that comes where you're like, well, I want what's best for them, not what's best for me. Not in, like, a stupid way, either, but, like, in, like, where you put their interests first because you want to.
See, I don't think I'm designed for that, boys.
I was going to say...
No, I'm worried. I am worried.
There are people out there like you, though, Joe. Like, you look at the likes of the famous ones, Bill Zarian, Hugh Hefner. Like,
yeah, like,
we don't
know. I'm in that category.
Can't compare them to him.
Hugh obviously, Hefner. Obviously, they might be lonely inside, but they're just not built for one relationship. They're just not built like that. But maybe they have, maybe Dan Bilzerian hasn't met the one. Who knows?
I just think, like, yeah, man, like, you know, there should be some telltale signs that, okay, yeah, I'm not ready for it now, but this does somewhat seem like it could interest me at some point. For me, it just doesn't. And it's not like I'm a massively top shagger that's constantly like shagging around. Like, I'm not. So it's not like I'm like Bilzerian or Hugh Hefner. Like,
I know, yeah.
I'm not that either. It's more of just like, if I live with someone else, I always, whether it's family, girlfriend, anyone, I end up resenting them and just getting annoyed by them. And it feels like I'm a cunt. It feels like I'm horrible. But I just end up, yeah, and then I end up like snapping and being out of order to them when really they're doing no harm. But it's almost like I just, the conclusion I keep coming to is that I'm destined to just live alone and be alone. And that's horrible. That is really horrible. Like, that's like upsetting, but it's how it feels.
This obviously isn't the same, but have you thought about getting a companion? Like a
dog,
a puppy.
No, mate, it's not.
I've thought about that recently.
But this is the thing, like, it's not a problem. Like, oh, I'm desperately like wanting to like get like a cat or something. Like, it's more humans. Like, the thing of, yeah, is it just that some people are designed to not have a partner? Is that just how it is?
Well, are you saying like what worries you is the more not the thought of not having one, but the thought of not wanting one?
Almost, it's like shit. Because yeah. It's almost I am concerned for why don't I want one? It's not like, oh, I can't get one, and I really want to get a companion. Nah, that's not it. I don't want one. And that's a scary thing.
Yeah.
There has to be so many people in your situation. Like, you look at people who are concentrated on their careers their whole life,
yeah,
and who haven't got a partner. Like DiCaprio, he doesn't have a wife, does he? And he's like mid-50s. He's just been so dedicated to his artwork and his work. He never wanted that either.
Yeah, that's what almost I feel like. I mean, I know these, like, the people you've mentioned are like top level people, but I'm on that same sort of trajectory, i.e. I'm aiming to be like a master of my art.
Yeah.
And I like at top of the game. And I think I'm designed to be that way. I'm not designed to like half-heartedly do whatever creation I'm doing or what, you know, that. I think I'm meant to be full steam ahead. And yeah, maybe that's just the way it is. Maybe that's just how it ends up. But anyways.
Maybe it's just because you're completely fulfilled by that you've no desire to get anything from someone else.
But at the same time, it's like, am I just that self-absorbed? It's like, am I that self-centered? Am I that self-centered and narcissistic that, like, I literally don't want to waste my energy on any other individual where it's not appropriate?
It's
like, fuck me.
I think it's more of the fact... No, 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 I really don't think it's that. I really think it's more of the fact that you're so driven by your work, you don't have time for anything right now. Like, you have to give all your energy into one thing. Like, you're just not ready for it right now.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's not like you can say, like, oh, I don't have time for it. Oh, I do. I have a lot of time. But...
Yeah, but
having,
when you're so focused on your work, having someone there, it takes up a lot of emotional
are you able to have a girlfriend then?
Well, she's at uni.
If she lived with you, do you reckon it would be an issue?
It wouldn't be an issue. I'd definitely get less work done though, Janine.
Would that make you like resent her? Would it make you be like, oh, she's sort of the reason why I'm not getting
my
shit
done? No, because I'd be also living my life more. I'll be out there doing other things. I think it's so important that when you are in a relationship and you work for yourself, you have to cut the right balance and boundaries. Otherwise, that's when it goes downhill.
And remember, people are always after different things in life. Like, just because one thing works for Theo or me, it doesn't mean it is going to work for you and it's not like, it doesn't mean that what you're doing is wrong. It's just different. I mean, like, monogamy is not natural anyway, is it, really? I mean, are people destined to spend 80 years with one person forever? Like, is that a thing that humans are designed for? Or is it just something that we've created? That some people like, yeah. Some people don't.
Yeah, what did they do in caveman times? Like, what would they do? Would it be...
I honestly think they probably just had, like, orgies and shit.
Oh, yeah. Bring it back, mate. No, but this the other thing is that, mate, I always, if I'm single, boom, always get in ripped shape. I always get in...
Focusing on yourself.
I can keep to my diet. I get ripped. I feel like I do end up... I just feel better. Right, yeah.
Do you get comfortable in a relationship and you can, like, slow down and relax?
Yeah, it's just, like, naturally, as part of being...
Lose a drive.
Yeah, as part of being in a relationship, you know, you go for nice meals, you spend what you want to, because you do, like, and it's not like, whenever I've been in relationships, like, I do want to spend time with that person, I have a lot of fun with that person, and it's great, but then you slowly start to see the decline of yourself, like, losing, you know, putting on weight, not being as driven to work hard with the, you know, my career, because your focus is on them, and... I don't know. I've always, and I feel like if you're with the right person, they should elevate you. They should make
you. That's what I was gonna
say,
should
bring you on, and that's how it should happen naturally. You shouldn't have to, like, force it or try and pretend like they're doing that. And I think that's the honest issue that I haven't found that with someone yet, where I feel like I'm improved as an individual, and it's sad because that sounds harsh, and I don't want it to sound harsh.
Well, when you do eventually meet the right person, you'll realise that you both complement each other and drive each other forward. You don't hold each other back. I always feel the most important thing about a relationship is that you are two individuals that come together, and you should never forget your individual side. You should always be focusing on yourself as well.
Yeah, the problem is as well, though, is that, like, say, for example, every girl I've been with, it's not like they've been controlling, been like, oh, you need to... Like, they've never actively made me change any part of me to not be my solo self. It's just when I'm with them, like, going out with them in relationship, my lifestyle just so happens to be a way that ends up making me not be what I truly am meant to be. In shape, dedicated to my craft, fucking sick, fucking brilliant, an inspiration. I'm here to inspire others, mental health wise, fitness wise, all of that, and that's what I want. And that all of that goes when I get into a relationship.
Yeah, you just haven't met the right person. You need a companion who can be there by your side, helping you, and you learn from them.
Yeah, and that is also something as well I'll quickly touch on, that you can't, if you can't force that. A girl may think she's doing everything up in her power to enable you to do those things that you want to do. She's doing everything, and it's amazing that someone can try that hard to make it work for you. However, if that element, that it's an un... What's the word? It's just a natural thing that is either is there or it's not there.
Spark.
Yeah, not spark, because you can have a spark with someone. I'm talking more, if they don't elevate you as a person and bring you on without having to try and without having to go the extra mile and all of that, if it's just you two naturally clicking away that elevates each other, that's when it's the done thing and it's right. And it's like, that's what I'm saying. I just don't know if there's an individual out there that I can vibe like that with. And I know that's a lot of people say that, but I just feel like I just see myself as a very, very unique individual that's not, okay, I'm better than everyone else or whatever, but in the sense of I'm so self-obsessed. In order to operate properly, i.e. be in good shape and all the things that I've listed, I have to be self-obsessed. Otherwise, I don't do that, and then I end up getting depressed and miserable because I'm not living life as... performing at the high level that I should be for me.
You need that compatible partner who can elevate you like that.
Yeah. So where is she?
Give it time. Give it one day. You never know. And like I say, it might never happen. not to. Yeah.
But it also might happen, like mid 30s, you never know.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah, it could, yeah, you might meet her when you're 55 down a pub.
Oh, mate, that'd
no,
be
it
class.
Will be like that. If I could, no, it will if be
I,
like that.
Yeah, if I could live life until then and then settle down when I'm like literally old, that would be class. I'm not going to lie, that's ideal. Maybe that's why I'm attracted to older women. Because that's the age that I will actually be looking for a partner. Maybe that's.
Do you want kids eventually,
mate? Right now, absolutely not. No desire whatsoever.
When you're older,
my no. Because the thing is, I mean, I like the idea of wanting that, but I can't see myself wanting it. I see my sister, mate, who's just had a baby, and her life is over. Her life is over, mate. No, that sounds harsh. That sounds actually wait. Rewind. Basically, let me say this a bit, in a bit more of an actual fucking thoughtful way. I love Koa. That's his name. Koa George. No, I probably shouldn't announce the name, whatever. But yeah, basically, Koa, he's a great baby. So fun. So just like, you love him. Like instantly, like, you know, it's, yeah. Like, you love him. The problem is I look at the absolute 100% dedication that my sister and Ty, her boyfriend, have to put in for him. And I see that as they have no free time to do anything they want. They barely have time to work to fucking, you know, earn enough money to do what they need to do. And I'm just like, shit, man. Like, the amount I need to dedicate to live life in a way that makes me fucking not depressed, I will never have time to dedicate to a baby. Ever. Ever, mate.
I'd say it's the start of your life because, yes, the first 2 years... Like, realistically, you're going to love your baby, but it's going to be shit. You're going to get, like, 1 hour sleep every night. You're going to get poo all over you. It's going to be awful.
Why would you all want right? that?
But because it's your being. You've made it. And then when it grows up and it can live its life, that's when it starts. Well, not when it starts getting good, but, like, once you get over...
I've got no desire for that. It just seems annoying. That's
but so many
honest.
People love their little, like... baby yeah. that shits everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, you can love him, but surely, like, you just don't, like... I love my dog. I can't have him live with me. I can't. I love my dog. He cannot live with me because I don't... It's the fact that I need to dedicate my life. Like, Stannard, he loves his baby. You wouldn't assume... You wouldn't think, okay, he's made out to be a dad yet. But he's fucking smashing it, and he loves it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just that thing where we're all different.
He's got such a good balance because he still does live his life. He still goes out. Like, it's...
Yeah, but it's the fact he wants to be a dad. Like, he wants to, so...
He's ready for it.
I think it's where fucking, mate, might as well, like, without getting too deep, like, obviously my dad never wanted to truly be a dad to us, me and my sister.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is he fucking left.
Yeah.
And the fact that that's... how he sort of felt, he never truly wanted to commit. Is it in the genes? Is it in my DNA that's just, I've got that, the same thing that sort of, maybe how my dad felt, I don't know.
Mate, yeah, I definitely, I mean, obviously you have a, like, a rocky sort of relationship with your dad, and I think the worst thing anyone can do in that situation is assume that they're going to be the same way.
But the evidence shows that, like, as in we're similar, mate. Like, we're similar in many ways. Like, personality traits, you know.
All I'm saying is if you ever get to the point where that's the only thing holding you back, then you've got to think, you've got a choice there. Do I be like him or do I not be like him?
No, I don't believe it's a choice. You can't pretend like you desire something, i.e. I want to have children. You can't pretend. Just because
I'm saying if it got to the point where you did, but you were holding back based on the fact
that... Mate, if I fucking wanted to, then I fucking would. I don't give a shit. Like, the point I'm sort of making is that, like, the evidence is that obviously my dad wasn't 100% like, yes, this is for me. And what I'm saying is, like, maybe that's just how I am, i.e. it may be that built in my DNA is just not the desire to fully want to commit to being a parent. I don't know.
But then that's just, like, who knows, in 10 years, you may feel differently. It's so...
I mean, how old was your dad when he had you?
Don't know. No idea.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, fuck knows.
How old is your dad?
Don't know.
Really?
Probably like, I don't know. That's dodgy, isn't it? Like, I don't know. I haven't spoken to him in years.
Yeah, that is peak. It's horrible that like those sort of relationships exist. That like, obviously, I know everyone can't play happy families.
Thing is, mate, it's built me to the person that I am in terms of like the reason why I'm so determined, resilient, able to go again and again and again and all that is because I haven't had a perfect happy family upbringing like that, and that is why anyone that has gone through a difficult upbringing, like you have no idea how subconsciously tough you will become. Like if you notice, it is more the people that have the silver spoon and the perfect sort of upbringing maybe aren't as well weathered to cope in tricky situations. Like that can be, and that's not their fault, but that's what comes with maybe not having to deal with difficult challenges like that early on in your life. So I don't see it as like a negative and like a, oh, I wish I had a perfect mum and dad family. I see it as like, mate, it's all been part of building the character, the resilient, determined character that I am today. So
yeah, I mean, it is all well and good if you come out the other end like you, but I mean, no, like the story may never have been written this way. Like you could have, it obviously could have gone down a bad route for you, and the whole thing could have messed you up completely.
Do you ever feel maybe subconsciously you're so determined to succeed to like prove to him like why? Never.
I don't prove anything to anyone, mate. I literally don't give a fuck. And that's my other problem. It's like the whole world could tell me how incredible something I've made is. If I don't think it's incredible, it's fucking shit, mate. That's not like it's like I'm my biggest critic. So it's not like, oh, I want to show that I'm I don't give a toss. It's more of just like the only thing that I think, yeah, like I have lacked is a male figure to guide me in being a man, like becoming a man and how to lead and deal with situations and not let your emotions rule you, because everyone has thoughts and feelings and struggles, but everyone can learn how to deal with them and cope the best. And I feel like that's often, I know this is a bit stereotypical, but often what your dad will be able to sort of guide you with. I don't know, that's sort of in my head what I think people that have had dads have maybe had help with or like had. And I think it's that I've missed. That's why I think I lose my temper, or I get emotional and I lose my head really quickly. Because that's sort of how, no disrespect at all, but that's how my mum sort of deals with, you know, situations. I don't know if it's more like, I've only really been around, you know, my sister, my mum, my nan, my auntie, my cousin, all like
female upbringing.
Yeah, surrounded by females, and they, you know, they do deal with things in quite a emotional way. It's never a calm and composed way, and no disrespect, like at all. But it is, that does seem to be a thing in my family, like very emotional reactions to things. Whereas if I say had a dad that was like able to composed. Show how you can deal with things in a composed way, like, I think that would have been so useful for me in going to a lot of situations.
No, I agree. It's like. Like I say, it's obviously naturally going to be trickier if you're like put in that situation growing up. Like it just is.
Yeah, straight up, mate.
But like we say, you've come out the other side pretty decent.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like a lot of, that's the thing. Like, I don't know, 100%. I notice whenever I say it. But yeah, like a lot of people. I'm definitely not complaining with how things have panned out. Like it's obviously for the better, like how it's, everything's gone, I'm fucking gassed about. But a lot of people that do have a definitely a worse up, you know, worse upbringing than me. A lot of people may turn to things like alcohol and drugs and oh, didn't have a perfect upbringing, so therefore this is why I do this. And it's like, nah, everyone, despite the circumstances, and I know some are fucking awful, but it's about how can I take what the circumstance that I've got and try and make it work for me, and not just going, fuck this, oh, because of this reason means that I can't try. Whereas everyone can try, and it's you may not have loads of money, you may not have loads of opportunities, but there's some way you can try to start improving. For me, the first thing, boom, exercise, boom, football. Going outside. Literally, that's the fucking first thing. Going outside, getting fresh air, clear your mind. Okay, I don't know. But anyways,
I feel like we're very fortunate in where we live.
Yes, yeah, we definitely are, man. Definitely so lucky, so lucky.
I hope he doesn't mind me bringing it up, but Dan obviously went through pretty rough upbringing.
Yeah.
And I feel like when he moved down here, it was like a breath of fresh air.
Give a bit of context on, like, so Dan is a friend from school that is really, really good friends with Theo.
Yeah, we grew up together since year 7. He's actually been in a few videos of mine, actually.
Yeah.
And I feel like when he moved down to Seaford, it was a new start for him, but that wasn't... He didn't clear his past because he had this stepdad that lived with him. He was quite like a physical guy.
What?
So when we was on Xbox one night... we were playing Call of Duty or whatever, and suddenly the hit, you know that noise when someone's mic just gets ripped off and it's like a kerfuffle noise?
Yeah.
I was like, Dan? And he just wasn't replying. And like, I was texting him for like 20 minutes, nothing. And he finally gave me a call, and he'd been like beaten up, essentially. He'd like, the guy had attacked him.
Why?
He was a drunk, I think. And,
See, I never...
This happened, like, quite a few occasions, and that was... Me and my mum had to, like... He had to get dropped off at our house and, like, move in for, like, 2 days during school.
Really, mate? I've never heard that. Like,
Like, he had to live at my house for, like, a couple of days. It was... We made the best out of the scenario. Like, we set up 2 monitors in my room, played Call of Duty.
But you fucking loved it.
Like, it was actually really sick.
It is also important to note that Stannard is like one of the nicest people going as well.
This is the point I'm going to say, is that you look at him now and you think, like, what he went through, how the fuck is he this man who he is today? Because he came out the other side, which so many people haven't done. And if you are going through stuff like that, just know that you can come out the other side, like you, Joe, like Dan.
So what I mean, off the bat, I just assume is obviously to coincide with the struggles that he had when he was younger. That obviously had to make him very quickly be able to fucking learn how to deal with things and carry on, because he still needs to turn up, go to school, behave, do work. Whilst all that shit's going on at home, and that's why he's probably turned into like the like amazing, genuine bloke that he is, because he hasn't had it all just on a plate for him, easy, happy days. He's had to fucking struggle, and the thing that struggle brings is a sense of fucking down to earthness, a sense of reality, a sense of I do have to fucking work hard, go through dodgy times in order to get what I want. So yeah, mate, that I think you'd be surprised, like most a lot of the genuine people that you meet in life probably have some very negative stories to tell about probably their upbringing or something like that. But anyways, right, should we move on to another question?
Go on.
This one is actually vile.
Warning.
Warning. I don't think personally I want to talk about this, but it is an interesting topic. If you are squeamish, you've been told. All right. The title that Theo has put, Broken Banjo. Now, those of you may already know what I'm about to say, the sort of topic, but here we go. Hi, Joe, Luke and Theo. Hope you're all keeping safe. Just before lockdown, I was meeting up with this girl and having sex pretty much every week. She lives five houses down from me, and she comes up when my mum and dad are out to shag. The other week, we were doing doggy. What is this, during isolation? That's good. So anyways, yeah, I believe it is. The other week, we were doing doggy, which we normally do, but this time, something felt weird as I was balls deep in her, going in hard. I felt a stinging pain, and I took out my cock, and it was bleeding heavily. We were both confused at the situation and didn't know what happened. After she left, I had a look at my cock, and it was swollen, and my banjo string had snapped. No!
Oh, it's horrendous.
Should we explain what the banjo string is for those that don't know?
It's the females. Bit of skin that attaches your foreskin to your penis.
Yeah, basically it's a vital part. Anyways, Luke, you've got, before we even react to that, Luke's got something to add to this. Go on.
Alright, boys, so I've actually been in this situation.
Oh,
hell. Hell, absolute hell.
This, it was one of the worst things ever, right? So, you boys might have even been there. We're at a Charlie Metcalf's house party. We're talking like 2K13.
Wasn't invited.
Were you not?
I don't think I was invited, mate. Why wasn't I invited?
Surely you would have been Weller. Maybe not you, mate, Theo. No offense.
No, genuinely, I used to actually not really get invited to stuff.
I remember you guys going to that party. I was like, oh.
Yeah, anyways, go on, Luke.
All right, so I am in the bathroom with a female.
Oh, who? What are you doing? Yeah, who?
I'm not going to say the name.
Give us some initials so that only we understand.
You won't know. CP? Think back to 2K13.
Big Gothy.
Gothy?
Yeah, a little bit.
Little bit.
Yeah, go on then.
So we're just, you know, going at it.
Or shagging.
And oh no, like, you've come on your period.
Oh, no, no.
Which, obviously, that was the least of my worries. So she was like, really? That's strange. Like, because I really shouldn't be. So I come out and, like, my cock is pulsating with blood.
Oh, like, mate, I don't like this at all.
Is it splurting?
Each pulse, it's coming out.
You're bleeding out.
Obviously, my heart drops because I'm like, oh no, like, my cock's broken. Like, something's gone wrong.
Snapped your knob in half?
I went in too quick. I washed it, and I hope Charlie Metcalf isn't watching this, because I washed my cock in your sink.
Oh no!
No!
I had to, and yeah, obviously this thing has just snapped, so there's like a huge gaping cut. Obviously, I needed to return to the party. There's people banging on the bathroom door, like, I need a piss.
You're just with, like, blood in your face.
Yeah, but it gets worse because I had to cover it up. I couldn't let everyone know that I've just snapped my banjo string in there. So I shoved loads of toilet paper down there to soak up the blood. But I also used some blood-soaked tissue to hold to my nose to pretend the reason I took so long was because I was having a nosebleed.
Oh, that's smart. Wait, so you put your cock blood on your face?
Yeah, but it's all the same, isn't it?
Nah,
so
it's cock blood.
Gungy,
that's been inside a vagina.
Cock blood with spunk all over it was just... in your mouth, essentially.
I obviously didn't finish. As I came out, like, the pain kicked in.
There was some of her juices.
Out of ten, what's the pain?
At the time, I was drunk, and it was stinging. The pain comes the next day when you get in the shower and you go to clean it.
No.
Right, so obviously, Joe, I don't think you have this problem, because you don't...
I don't have a foreskin. I've been circumcised and I am clean.
Wait, so you don't have a banjo?
He hasn't got
any... Yeah, wait, let me get it out. No, this is a bit appropriate. Yeah, I do!
Oh, he's actually looking at it, okay.
Oh. Wait, yeah, I do.
Go ahead, Luke.
Everyone get their cocks out.
Obviously, you know, we have to clean under it, don't we? Keep it like nice and fresh.
Oh, is that if you have a foreskin?
You just put your foreskin back, wash it.
Yeah, wash it. 100%. That's
never had to do that in my life.
You can't do that. When it's snapped, you cannot pull it back. That is the worst pain that you will ever feel.
Wait, have you got a scab?
No, now it's
scar?
Just...
No.
Like, was there a scab?
Yeah,
you've got
mate,
a scar,
mate,
haven't
I,
you?
Mate, I could not touch it for like, I'd say 3 weeks. Two going 3 weeks, definitely.
How did you wee?
What do you mean, how did I wee?
Did it hurt?
Like, at first, yeah, it would sting. There was piss in my cut. Yeah, it hurt.
Oh, wait, no, I'll tell you something, you lot. When I got circumcised, it got infected and I had to piss out the side of my cug. No, what? It's vile, to... mate. It's vile.
Wait. What?
Lads, wait. I was like 12. Nah, fuck that. I was year 5. Must have been like 9. And listen, I had an infected cock that swelled up to about 10 inches. It was fucked. But listen, it was brilliant at the same time because I had a massive dong.
But in year five, you're going to use it all the time.
It was so infected that the normal piss hole was covered up in infection and my cock formed a new hole out the side of it.
Wait,
I've never had much stinging pain in my life. I don't know how.
Are you sure the doctors didn't like poke a hole in it and just make, like, you can piss out here?
No, mate. Why would they make a hole at the side of my knob?
Basically, you had a hole in your dick and it was just coming out.
It wasn't a hole. It was kind of like seeping where it had been like torn, essentially. Oh, God. Oh. It was like a wound.
So
boys,
it's like,
this is graphic.
It's like a
this
balloon.
Is very graphic. We're getting demonetized again, fuck's sake.
This is the worst conversation we've ever had.
Yeah, this is the worst
Luke,
one.
I'm surprised you're only out of action for 3 weeks. HB was out of action for about 6 weeks.
Who the fuck is that? Oh, bruh.
Really? Yeah. Wait, what's his broken cock story?
God. Oh, he did it a couple times.
Oh, wait, can I just clarify? Can you only do this snapperization if you have a foreskin?
I would assume. I'm under the impression that is the only way it can happen.
Never, ever.
So was it too tight? Is that why?
I don't know like the medical analysis of it. I don't know why it happened. All I know is that it will never happen again because now I just don't have one. Genuinely, like it's just not. I don't have one.
You don't have a banjo
string?
It just doesn't exist.
You just have a cock. So you just have a lump.
So like you know where? So say like it's like this, right? That's your string. Where it's split, it's basically like flat here.
Okay, mate.
Wait,
all right. I reckon we go on to a nice question. No, genuinely, one quick question. Because it's getting too much, boys.
Were you scarred to wank afterwards?
Stop. No. Anyways, right. So, the last one that you've written down, Malfoy, says we get this one a lot. But not sure we've touched on it fully. Okay. So, this one goes, hi guys. Just wanted to say I'd love the podcast. Keep up the good work. Done. No, that's not opening. Anyways, right, it goes, I found myself in a little bit of a dilemma recently. I've been going out with a girl for 2 months before lockdown started. I find her very attractive and we get on really well as we have great sexual chemistry. And she's the only girl I've found this sort of connection with. Relatable. However, I've started to go off the idea of getting too serious as I'm recently 18 and want to pull on nights out. Basically, live my life a bit. Okay. Have you guys ever found yourself in this scenario? And am I in the wrong for feeling like this? Well, Jimmy, his name's not Jimmy, but we're going to call him that. Listen, little. Yes, Jim. Basically, this is the most common thing I think that lads go through.
Yeah.
Because you are 18. You, at the same time, are wanting to explore many different emotions. And love is one of them. Love is a beautiful, amazing, incredible feeling. And to have that with a girl is fantastic. But at the same time, you're looking at your life, you're being switched on and you're going, hang on. I'm only this sort of age once. I want to live my life. I want to explore that side of life. Going out, flirting with girls, doing that. It's fun. It's being a lad. It makes you feel fantastic. It's fun, right? Now, you've got a good thing going on. If, in my eyes, off the bat, if you're getting these feelings that you still want to pull, you don't love her, mate. You don't fancy her.
Yeah.
You can enjoy the girl's company. You can find her fun. And that, mate, like, you don't have to start hating her in order to find a reason why this maybe shouldn't, like, maybe isn't the right thing. At the end of the day, if you're having feelings about wanting to get with other girls, that's your sign. That is your sign. And I want any lad that's listening to this right now, if you're with a girlfriend and you're sitting there going, I'm really getting urges to fucking, I want to pull other girls. I really want to, mate, it's not right. That means that I believe that you're not with the right person personally, because that is the gut instinct feeling that I get that tells me this person isn't right. And it's a horror. It makes you feel dirty. It makes you feel like a bad person. But at the end of the day, it's the right thing to do. Anyways, go on, Malfoy.
He's also young enough that you're both going to be fine. It's going to be sad for like a day or a week, whatever. But you're young enough, you'll get over it. Like, it's not the end of the world. You'll be fine.
All I would say is don't be deceived and into thinking that just because you're single and 18, you're going to pull every weekend.
Yeah, that's the other misconception that I had. Like, I'd think, oh yeah, the second I get single, boom, I'm going to be on it. But you actually lose all ability to be able to pull a girl because you don't know what you're doing.
Very true.
You lost all your confidence. And yeah, the grass does sometimes seem greener on the other side. The thing is there's, like, I actually want to rephrase what I've just said. Basically, a lot of people, even in relationships, maybe in a happy, great relationship, but seem to have grass is always on the grass is greener on the other side disorder, where even if the situation that they're currently in is fantastic and great, they'll always be like, what if I've got a painting over there that I kind of fancy and I would, what if? And like Mike Malak said on the Impulsive podcast, if you've got a girl that you don't want to smack in the face, now that's, I'll rephrase that, as in, I'll phrase that terribly. I did not mean that. No, if you don't want to basically fight all the time and you can live with them civilly, then you are winning. That makes sense. Like, you shouldn't
be, that makes sense.
You shouldn't be striving for just perfection. You're never going to get perfection. There's always going to have to be compromise. The difference here is the kid is 18. This kid is 18. So he shouldn't be having those sort of worries now. I think when you get to the point at which you're, you know, I'm ready to sort of settle down with a relationship, I think there's going to be, you're not going to find someone perfect that ticks every box. There's going to be an element of compromise. And yeah, my issue is I don't even desire it.
This is sort of what you bring this up with Theo quite a bit, don't you? Where you say, because Theo, obviously it's been discussed before, you've been with Janine a long time, not slept with many people. And Joe, you always...
You had to put that one in, Luke.
the last comment was a little...
but Joe, you always say, like, how, mate? Like, how can you do that without experiencing all these other... Like you're not saying the relationship is wrong, but you're just saying, like, are you never, like, curious about, like, what maybe is like, or...
Yeah. Go on, Malfoy.
It's two different types of people, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true.
What is the type? How would you... What is it? Like, what? Because I'm not a top shagger. So what are the two
you
types?
Just prefer...
What would you label them?
I would say there is people that are happy being in a long-term relationship and have no desire and are comfortable and they really do want to spend the rest of their life with one person. Then you get people like you who like to go around different people.
No, but that's
until always... they're ready.
Oh, okay.
To settle down.
Well, so you just straight up have no desire.
Obviously, I go on Instagram and there's like fit birds on there on Instagram. I think, but that everyone does.
Wait,
that.
Let
but
well
I'm
have
so
finished.
Happy.
I want to hear what he's got to say.
Okay, go on. What? No, I just want to say, like, so you have no desire to just like sleep with women, like, as in that's realistically all I want to say.
With
like,
women,
like never growing up, When you turned about 13, did you start going, fucking hell, my life mission is to have sex on a fucking brilliant scale? I used to fucking dream of it. I was like, please, can I make this a reality? And me building it up as such a big thing in my head for years meant that I could never do it. I just crumbled because it was such a big moment and I couldn't bring myself to get my shit together and deliver. Whereas maybe for you, if it's not so much a big deal, you were able to just sign, seal, delivered, get a girlfriend, have sex with her and it's done. Whereas I think...
I was dreaming of becoming a professional footballer.
Yeah, I was as well. But then you grow a cock, like, then you grow balls, don't you? And like, fucking... Come on, mate. Realistically...
When I was 13, I was not making it my lifelong mission to grow up and just shag.
Would you not wank over teachers a lot?
At 13?
Why does it always go down this route?
I literally did so much, mate. So much. And they weren't even fit. I just would do
it. Well, we know you have a case of that, like, on the regular. Like, it doesn't matter if they're fit or not. It happened recently with the lady.
Listen, it's situational. So the fact is more the fact that she was my teacher that made it more wow. But I used to I used to get frustrated because I'm like, oh, I'm too young. She'd never actually turn this into a reality. I used to play out storylines in my head constantly of the teacher is going to keep me behind afterwards. And then next thing you know, 1, 2, 3. And then the fittest teacher in our fucking school ended up doing that with the kid that...
Wait, I was about to say this!
...snapped my knee in half! The kid injured me!
I was literally about to say to you, Joe, do you reckon your hatred towards the guy that injured you stemmed from the fact that he got sucked off by our teacher?
Did he actually get sucked off?
Do we know what he was? That's how the story goes.
I was under the impression it was just a handy.
Oh, what? Even then, mate. Listen, end of the day, fuck him. The bit that pissed me off is that he deliberately came through the back of me and snapped my knee in half. So what did I do? I tweeted out his phone number and he fucking everyone called it.
Yeah, oh, pretty nice.
No, I did because, mate, it was the way he was a dick about it as well. He snapped me and then was all fucking pussy. All this shit. He was a proper... wanker about it, so fuck that guy who gives a shit.
Well, it just shows he's a poor human, whereas my person who injured me tried texting me saying how sorry he was, but didn't reply because I never forgave him.
Bet you'd shag him.
What?
Would you, fuck what?
Boys, this has been going on, this is a long one. I think we're almost at 2 hours.
One hour 23, mate, is what we're on. Is there any other final vital points that you want to mention before we fuck off?
Where people can listen to us.
Oh, God, yeah, we forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
Remember, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, listening to this podcast is actually, I've had a lot of people say, is actually even better. I mean, I know we're stunning individuals. However, listening to it and going for like a walk or going on a run or something like that, I've heard apparently is decent. So give it a go if you want to, because, yeah, we've got good reviews. But other than that, we're on Instagram, at Waffling Podcast. Great content. Luke, you actually need to step up like a bit more content, I think.
Well, you know what?
On there for a little while.
I slowed down a bit on it. I felt everything was a bit overwhelming after the KSI podcast.
Yeah. Do you know what I think you need to post more of? Like actual images and videos on the story, not just, there's too much text.
Yeah, but...
So doing like a post of that, and then, I don't know, have you got any fucking like embarrassing pictures from when me and Theo or you, all of us were in like...
I got plenty in the bank.
Like year 10 or year 11, or just like funny old pics that are just random baiting us all out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll start doing it.
Luke, I'll send you that one video, which is my favourite video of Joe. Oh, it gets me every time.
Wait, it's not the one with my knob out, is it?
Oh. No, it's the one when you're being a proper nonce. Just talking to the camera.
Oh, God.
Do you know the one?
Oh, yeah.
When you're in like that football kit.
Come on, Theo. Look, at the end of the day, I like it. But yeah, so Luke's going to step up the Waffling Podcast Insta game. You guys are going to send in your questions at the email is askjoefeo@gmail.com and we will give you some expert advice.
And make and really step up the grammatical side of the emails.
Yeah, when you send in emails, can you try and like spell? I know it's a tall order. All right, now I know it's quite hard. I know some people have dyslexia; it's difficult. However, all I'm saying is just try your best. You can only do your best. So that's all I'm really saying. But overall, it's been a good episode. Lots of different topics, funny, deep, all of it. But we're going to now go enjoy the sun. I am going to finish my new YouTube video. And until next
When's
time,
it
you
out?
It's already out.
That's going to be, already out, mate.
Oh.
That was a great little outro going as well.
Sorry.
Until next time, peace.